Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Hi everyone, it's Maya and welcome back to Proud Stutter. Before we dive into today's episode, I have a few exciting updates to share. First, our documentary fundraiser is happening on October 9th here in San Francisco at the Rivian. Proud Stutter listeners like you get 50% off tickets with the code PROUD50 at checkout. This event will feature a sneak peek of our new film, plus the launch of our sensory-friendly screening pilots. We'll also have free food brought to you by After Work Bar and The Bird, and an open bar with wine and beer. So it's going to be a really fun and meaningful evening, and I really hope to see a lot of you there. We'll be announcing our speakers early next week on social media. And as we get closer, we'll share even more details about the photography exhibit and other things about what to expect. And yeah, one more really exciting update. I'll be traveling soon to the Hot Springs Documentary Film Festival in Hot Springs, Arkansas. I got invited to lead a round table at the Filmmaker Summit, and I'm just so excited. I can't wait to share more in future episodes, so stay tuned. And yeah, that's it for now. Let's get into today's show. I'm Maya Chupkov, and I'm a woman who stutters. Welcome to Proud Stutter, a show about stuttering and embracing verbal diversity in an effort to change how we talk about it, one conversation at a time. Hey guys, I'm here and I am with a very special guest for today's episode of Proud Stutter. I'd love to introduce Andy Phillips. Andy is a filmmaker. He is an ally to the stuttering community. He is actually here because he is celebrating something very special today. We're celebrating the 10-year anniversary of your short film, Words. So my first question is, what first inspired you to make Words? Like, why this location? Why William's story?
Yeah, I feel like the two big anchor points for me in creating this were my love for New Orleans and my love for spoken word poetry. And so for me, it was figuring out a way to put these two worlds together. And then you and I had spoken previously about the idea of where William's character came from and the idea of like, him being someone who stutters and how does that play into the story we were telling. But originally it really was just like spoken word, New Orleans. I want to put these things together. And then I started crafting the story of William. And it was the idea that his creative outlet was something that he struggled to get out into the world. And that became the hook by which I really developed the script from.
And where, like, when did kind of stuttering enter into the film? Like, what was inspiration behind that?
I really don't remember specifically. I just remember I was trying to find, it really was going to be about poetry, but then there had to be some obstacle, you know what I mean, to make this story interesting or worth being told or interesting to an audience. And it became, I started pulling from life experiences and people I knew to really like infuse into the characters I was creating, the story I was telling. And there was someone I knew growing up who had a stutter and is one of the most brilliant, wonderful people I know, and was always an amazing athlete. And he's hilarious, and his outlet to get his humor out became writing. And I was like, oh, well, that'd be interesting if that creative outlet was actually through poetry. Therein lies like a conflict, right? And so from a story perspective, like pulling from real life experiences and people I knew and then putting into these, to these characters, really informed what ended up being the story that is told throughout words. And as I started to investigate that, I started to learn that a lot of people who stutter use poetry to develop some sense of rhythm and fluency as in speech pathology. And so as I went further and further down researching, oh, is this a viable thing? Does this even make sense? Is this a cool way to tell this story? It really became clearer and clearer that this is like the way by which I was going to tell the story.
I love how that all came together. And when you were working on this short, like where in your career were you?
When I first started writing this, I was at the tail end of drama school. So I was literally in a Shakespeare class that I hated. And rather than paying attention in class, I was literally writing by hand this script. And I was kind of at, you know, the edge of the cliff of knowing like, oh, I'm in New York. I was in New York City in drama school. That was wrapping up soon. And I was realizing that like, well, good, interesting roles don't typically knock on your door as soon as you graduate from drama school. So it became clear that I would have to create my own material. So it was literally in the like back row of that Shakespeare class where I could unfortunately not care anything about Shakespeare. I was multitasking and started crafting this script. So yeah, I was in New York towards the end of drama school, knowing that as soon as I graduated, I was going to want to create my own work. And this was going to be the first thing that I did.
And what was casting like? And especially around like the stuttering part as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, casting selfishly was easy because I was casting myself. I was writing the role for myself for the, for William, the lead role. Outside of that, I looked to my friends who were in drama school with me. So, the other two leads were in school with me in New York. And so we were able to rehearse together in the city before we flew down to New Orleans to shoot on location. And as far as like my research for it, it was in depth. You know, I reached out to PhDs and speech pathologists and leaders of stuttering organizations and other people who stuttered. I found poets who stuttered and just tried to get as much information as I could to figure out how to best authentically, empathetically portray this character. And the more you do this research, especially within this realm, the more you realize, unfortunately, like the stereotype that of how someone who stutters is portrayed in the media is not glamorous. And so I started to really have this goal and this focus and this intention in telling the story that, no, this is going to be a lead character who was cool, who had an amazing gift, and wasn't going to be, you know, the fool or the whatever, right? And so in meeting with all these people who were well-versed within this community, it really gave me the tools that I needed to get to a place where I thought I could at least hopefully pull off some sense of performance that was authentic and honored this character.
Was it always that it was going to be you, or were you open to like hiring other or like having other like seeing if there were other potential actors to play the role?
It's interesting. The role of William, I always intended to play. But there was, now that you bring it up, a moment early on in the script development process where the other character named Elaine, who runs the spoken word club in the Ninth Ward, and William and Elaine befriend each other. There's a very early version of the script. I'd have to look and see if I can still find it, where the roles were reversed, where it was more, you could just literally switch it. It was Elaine was William and William was Elaine. And so at one point it became what it ended up becoming, but which I'm very pleased with that creative choice. And I don't remember at what stage of the creative process and getting feedback and notes that that ended up happening. But as far as casting, I always intended to play William. But really the fun part was like casting the other like characters and getting to work with them.
Over the course of this project, like how long did it take you to like move the process from like point A to point B? And yeah, like who, like how big was your team? Like I'd love to kind of know like how it all, how you were able to pull it out off, because making a documentary, especially like when you're kind of earlier in your career, it's like it definitely takes a village.
Absolutely. Like I feel like any form of filmmaking, no matter how big or small, it takes a series of tiny miracles that just somehow align to push the boulder up the hill. And that was like what I experienced. So I finished grad school, drama school in like 2014. So that's when I was writing this script, early versions of the script. And it was probably a year and a half later that we got to actually film it. So it took like a year and a half to develop, get some sense of funding together, which was just like beg, borrow, and stealing, connecting with friends and community from the cast perspective. So that was like my New York community, and they were really helping me in that sense of development and rehearsing and getting the story together, the characters together, the lead characters together. And then my community, I was lucky to have down in New Orleans, who were really like boots on the ground, film school students, film school dropouts, and the chaotic group that we were able to put together through, you know, that network. We ended up shooting, so wrote in 2014, shot late 2015. Shooting took 2 days. I went down with the intention of like, I knew I had like a few actors. I was going to try to get a couple of background actors. I knew I had a DP, an AD, and like hair and makeup. That's all I knew. And then the first day I got to set, I was the luckiest person alive because my DP, my first AD, I was annoyed because they kind of delayed me getting to set. And they were doing it on purpose because when I showed up, there was a production designer who had completely transformed the space unbeknownst to me, which is like the greatest gift any independent filmmaker will ever get in their lives. I thought, oh, the space is raw. It's cool. It's just, it's good enough. They transformed it. And, you know, we had gaffers. We had, at that time, people were still flocking to New Orleans, you know, to like get into the film industry and just wanted to, were just hungry to be part of something. And so we had a Steadicam op who just moved to town and brought his rig, and the opening shot and the last shot were the first things that we shot because he was like, I can come and I've got like an hour, I can hang out. And so we have this beautiful opening and ending sequences thanks to just that person showing up who was part of that network. But I would say all in all, when I ended up, what I thought was going to be a crew of like maximum 10 people, you know, when we shot the evening with the full background actors and full crew, we probably had over 50 people on set, which was, again, one of the gifts that I'll never take for granted again, because it's not always like that. But those are the tiny miracles that I'm talking about, that just like people got behind the story, wanted to be involved, and we had a lot of people contribute that made it happen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And I totally can relate because, yeah, it's as someone who's working on their first film right now, it's like, yeah, it's a lot. It's
I see it in your eyes. I recognize what you're going through. Keep going. I just gave you the Cliff Notes version of, you know, how we got from A to B. And we were very lucky to get there. But all in all, you know, we just talked about A and B. You know, that was what took from concept to production. And that took a year and a half and a lot of miracles. But then there's the whole post-production and release and all those other things that go along with it as well. But if you can keep pushing the boulder up the hill, like, those miracles will find you, and it's possible.
Yeah, no, I totally believe it. And it's nice to kind of speak to others who were able to see the other side, which hopefully one day.
Definitely.
Yeah. But I was like reflecting a little bit on like where the film kind of sits in like history of like New Orleans, and thinking about like the 20th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina and how this is like your 10-year anniversary. So when the film was released, it was like 10-year anniversary of Katrina. So, I'm wondering if, because I believe it was the lower Ninth Ward that got. So, yeah, I'm wondering if that kind of, you know, like if you can talk more about like that area.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I wrote the story, it was broad New Orleans, and that's all I knew. And so I went down there, visited some friends, and did a location scout. And I had the idea, the key location in the film is called The Slam. And so it was based on the conceptually in New York City, Bowery Poetry Club, the Noriken, these vibes and this essence of what I imagine a very cool underground poetry vibe should feel like. And so I wanted to create that down in New Orleans. And so I went down there for the location scout. And this speaks to, again, just, you know, the stars aligning. I got connected through friends and community down there with someone who had a community center in the Ninth Ward. So I didn't originally intend to go down there, but they're like, Miss Greer, we'll meet you. She's got a community center in the Ninth Ward. And she said, if you want to check out the space, it might work out. So we go down there. Miss Greer can't meet us, but she hooks us up with Mr. Robert. Mr. Robert gives us a tour of the Tacrema Center. And it was taken straight out of my imagination. It was perfect, right? Robert then ends up giving us a tour of the Ninth Ward. He famously wrote out The Storm, He is on every documentary that you can find about Katrina. He is in the documentary telling his story. He told it to me face to face on the ground where he rode out the storm. That experience ended up informing, I rewrote the beginning of the film with the poem that opens the film, called Watermark. Because when we were in the location, the Tacoma Center, you could see the watermark of where the water was when the floods came through the Ninth Ward. And as you drove through the neighborhood, that watermark is higher than the roofs that are there. So like the houses got washed away. He told me the story of how he had people get washed away that he knew through that experience. He wears a shirt called Rooftop Riders. And in the poem, there's something that references being a roof rider. And so going down there, getting connected with that community down in the lower ninth, completely informed, like, oh, like New Orleans has so much soul in its DNA, and you feel it the second you step off the plane. But when you get down into the lower ninth, especially 10 years after Katrina, meeting people who were really directly impacted by this experience, it just elevated the whole soulful connection of how I wanted to root this story. And so, yeah, going down there and feeling that and having a direct connection to those stories not only ended up giving me so much more power to where we were going to ground the story location wise, it literally informed a lot of the like story I ended up telling down to the like opening poem that creates this energy that sets the tone for the rest of the film.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That gave me goosebumps. That's incredible that you had that experience. Are the people that were part of the community center and the folks that you were connected with in the lower ninth ward, how are they doing, like have you been able to keep in touch with them?
So it's funny you mention the Mr. Robert, again, as I mentioned, he's in every documentary made about Katrina. He's doing okay. He was part of a group of community members that got housing through like the Make It Right Foundation, which was a fantastic concept that I think ended up maybe taking not the best turn of events. And so I think he's part of the community still there, which is amazing, but is trying to once again, like, get back on their feet from efforts to get them back on their feet. So it's the complexity of New Orleans, unfortunately, I think is still maybe one of the most concise ways to put it. So he's still down there, which I love that that's his home and he's going to stay home, which is beautiful. And so I think there's continued efforts to make that home as special as it once was pre-Katrina, right? But I think sadly those efforts are still continuing. It's not a done, the story is still yet to be finished.
Yeah, no, I was trying to Google him just to see, because I recently saw a bunch of documentaries on Katrina. I'm like, is that that person? But yeah, it's probably the person I'm thinking of, which is... wow, like I would love to meet him one day too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was my personal experience that you just go down there, like,
yeah,
you'll meet him.
Yeah,
which I encourage everyone to do. It's a beautiful place, it's a beautiful community.
Yeah,
and yeah, with the history that was always there, but in its recent history, the past 20 years, when you go down to the lower ninth, it feels different and it means something more now.
So it's been 10 years. So that's quite a long time. So yeah, can you give us an update on like what you've been up to? And it sounds like, I mean, the film like has stayed with you, which, you know, it's, I mean, every film you work on, it stays with you, but it sounds like it was just, it has this deep resonance with you. So like, you know, I guess, yeah, like, what have you been up to? And, you know, I think there's, even though the film's 10 years old, I still think there's a lot of value that can still be taken from your film.
I hope so. Like, it warmed my heart when, like, you reached out and you found it. Like, the fact that it still finds an audience that, like, the story resonates with, whether it's on the stuttering component, the poetry component, the New Orleans component, hopefully all three, that's what it was made for. Even when you reached out to want to do something, it's a 100% obvious yes, especially with, like, the work that you're doing and the organization that you're working with. That was the intended audience. This film will always be with me. It literally kicked things off. Again, back to, I was in a drama class, bored, thinking, like, I gotta write my way out. Like, it's not just gonna come to me. And through a lot of hard work and luck, I was able to do it. And it's the gift that keeps on giving. You know, the first gift was the joy of creating it. The second gift was the joy of being able to share it with audiences. It played festivals all over the world. I was fortunate to be able to go to a few of those screenings and see audiences impacted by it. And the gift continues because I can draw a direct line through the work I'm doing right now. Right now I'm producing podcasts, and I basically fell into podcasting like most people fall into podcasting through a series of events. My series of events was this film got optioned to be developed into a narrative podcast. And so even professionally, the work that I'm doing in this moment is a result of having created this film.
That's so beautiful. And as you can see, Stuart is very excited, my dog.
Good. I'm glad Stuart approves.
No, but Andy, thank you so much. And, you know, we wish you were here with us, but, you know, totally get it. Like, you have, but yeah, thank you so much for sharing this film with us. And yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It's lovely to meet you. And I appreciate you reaching out to me. So I hope you enjoy the film and other people enjoy the film as well.
And that's it for this episode of Proud Stutter. This episode of Proud Stutter was produced and edited by me, Maya Chupkov. Our music was composed by Augusto Deniz, and our artwork by Mara Ezekiel and Noah Chupkov. If you have an idea or want to be part of a future episode, visit us at www.proudstutter.com. And if you like the show, you can leave us a review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Want to leave us a voicemail? Check out our show notes for the number to call in. More importantly, tell your friends to listen too. Until we meet again, thanks for listening. Be proud and be you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.